Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dear saints, happy circumcision in name of Jesus Day. Right?
New Year.
Happy New Year to both. Today is the eighth day after Christmas. And in the white seasons, the white pyramids, if you see the white pyramids up on me or up on the altar, then you know the time is going to slow down a little bit. The church goes in real time. So for example, on the second Sunday after Easter, Jesus in real time, he rose from the dead. 1 week later, appears to the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And so what does the church do? They celebrate Easter. 1 week later, we have the reading where Jesus appears to his disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And then Easter, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascends in real time. So what does the church do? 40 days after Easter, we celebrate Ascension. 50 days after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost. That's what happened in real time, and that's what the church does. So today, 8 days ago, Jesus was born. And so today, we celebrate the day in which he was circumcised and named. 8th day. And so you get sometimes a very, very, very short reading. And if you were wondering how I'm going to preach 15 minutes on that verse, then you don't know me very well. Names. Names are a big deal in Holy Scripture. You don't get very far to see that. Adam names the animals. God is constantly changing people's names, right? You are Abram, now you are Abraham. You were Sarai, now you are Sarah. You were Saul, now you are Paul. You were Simon, now you are Peter. You were Jacob, now you are Israel. Names are a big deal. And if you notice the very familiar reading that Mr. Rutha read this morning, our Lord is very concerned about how his people will have his name placed upon them. When you bless them, say this, dear pastor, the Lord bless you and keep you. So shall my name, right there on your forehead, right there upon your heart, inscribed upon you, name put upon you. Names are a big deal. They show a relation to God, a relation to each other, or God's relation to us. And names can grow on you as well. It took really the fourth child for Kelly and I to not be so nervous about the name of our child. Oh, is she going to be like a Josephine? Is she going to act like a Josephine?
Josephine?
Well, she just grew into being Josephine. The things that she does are Josephine things now. And yesterday we had a funeral. Miss Hattie Massey. And there could be several things in which you could say, and then you could say, well, that's just Hattie. Right? Or that's just you know who. So, dear saints, what do you mean if you say, well, that's just Jesus? He is the only name. This is amazing, dear saints, to pause and reflect upon this. This is the only name that both God and man share. This is the only name that has a human nature and a divine nature. That is fantastic. And so this name opens, because it has a heart, Jesus has a heart that beats, it opens up the divine heart where you know what God thinks about you. In this name, in this person, the Son of God becomes man. So what does this name mean then? Savior. Your Savior, your healer, your Jesus. He comes to save you, to rescue you, to deliver you from the bondage of sin, of all that makes your life bitter and miserable. Everything that you yourself do, it is my fault, my own most grievous fault, we say of our sins. And everything that is done to you as you live in this life, salvation, and it also means to heal, as I also implied, to heal you, to restore you, to bring you into the glorious freedom of the children of God, your Jesus, your Savior. He will save his people from their sins, so call him Jesus. But this name, dear saints, it is the most controversial name in the world. And it always has been. It is the most divisive name in all the world. Mount Calvary Lutheran Church on 204 Little Texas Road is not the only church in America, not the only church in the world that is not full today. Not everybody loves the name of Jesus. Not everybody heals in that name. Not everybody is saved from their sins. So you take that root. This word Jesus means Savior, healer, and ask from what? Do I want to be saved from what he comes to save me from? Do I want to be healed from what he comes to heal me from? And so Mr. Marcus and Miss Bethany asked a wonderful question. It's the question that Psalm 2 asks. Why do the nations rage? And they do. They are under the authority. They are under the dominion of the Lord, and yet they rage. They're angry. They don't want their Lord. They don't want this Jesus to save them because they don't want to be saved from the things that he wants to save them from. This name, Jesus, dear saints, it brings to your heart comfort, but it brings to other hearts anxiety. This name, Jesus, heals the heart's wounds, but for others, it awakens wrath. It is whispered upon the dying lips of his Christians, and it will be whispered upon your dying lips in an amazing thankfulness. Lord Jesus, you saved me from death itself. And yet it is also cursed. It is loved, and it is also despised. But if you ever think that a sermon is always just about you versus them, then you don't know the darkness of your own heart as well. Jesus is a divisive name. And because I'm a sinner, it's a divisive name within me as well. Jesus says you're either for me or you're against me. And yet I, as a sinner, and you too, have many things in which we are for Jesus. And we are also against Jesus. I am for his love and his forgiveness for me. God be praised, a clean conscience. I am for that. But I'm sometimes against the fact that he wants me to love and forgive others. Love them? Them? Are you sure? They're hard to love, and they don't love me back. Forgive that? That? I am for the happiness that our Lord brings to me, the blessings, this church, my family. But I am sometimes against the fact that this Jesus tells me how to live. He tells me how I should spend my money in some ways. He tells me how I should use this mouth. He tells me how I should use this body of mine. He tells me how I should work. He tells me where I should be on Sunday mornings. He tells me how to live. Save, I don't necessarily want to be saved from the things that I want to do. I am for Jesus of the blessings that he gives to me. But we can sometimes be against the fact that as Christian, as the one who has that name placed upon our hearts and our foreheads, as the ones who have that inscribed upon us, we might suffer for the sake of that name. Get called names. Get made fun of. Bigots. Ignorant. Foolish. Why would you act that way? Why would you think those things? Intolerant? That name Jesus, dear saints, it can also help us realize that we sometimes are against him as well. We can be accused in that name, Jesus. We don't want to be saved. We don't want to be healed from the things that he wants to save us from. The law accuses. God's word always accuses. Not because it is not good. It is good. The law is good. Do you know who isn't good? You. We don't always want to be saved from the things in which he wants to save us from. So repent. He knows better. He wants to save you from exactly what you need to be saved from. Sometimes that means you need to be saved from yourself. And the things that you want. The Christian's desire is to change that desire into God's desire as well. And know that that is where true happiness and true contentment come from. So today, on the eighth day, Jesus does two things. And they're very, very important. One, he receives the name, Jesus, Savior. But then he also answers the question, how? How will he save me? And he does two things. One, he submits himself under the law. He is circumcised. God told his Jewish people, you must be circumcised on the eighth day. And so Jesus said yes to the Father's will. He said yes to God in everything. Yes, I will pray. Yes, I will go to church. Yes, I will delight in your word, dear Heavenly Father. Yes, I will submit to my mother and my father. Yes, I will be content. Yes, I will not be angry. He says yes to the Father's will. But the other thing that happens when he is circumcised, the infant Jesus at 8 days old sheds his blood. Because he knows that you and I have not always said yes to the Father's will. And every no that we've said about him deserves his wrath. Jesus sheds his blood. He takes on that wrath. The devil can no longer accuse you. All the no's that you have said to God, all the no's that you have said in 2016, all the no's that you have said throughout your life, all the no's that you will say this year, despite the New Year's resolution that you might want to say yes to God in everything, you are a sinner and you will still say no. Stop it. But you will say no. Know yourself that way. Not until heaven, not until the resurrection, will our no's stop and our yeses remain constant. But the devil cannot accuse you of your no's. Jesus took on the no's. Jesus took on the wrath. All dear saints, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You have him put upon you. When the Father looks at you, he sees all the yeses that Jesus says. When the Father looks at you, he sees no more no's that you have said. And so, dear saints, in 2017, today, you have the name put upon you, inscribed upon you, so that you might know that whatever you do in word or deed, you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go long without that name being put upon you. You need it put upon you every morning, and you can. You need it put upon you every night to forgive your sins. You need it put upon you when you pray in thanksgiving for the meal that you have received, when you invite Jesus to be the invisible guest at your table and in your life. And you need it put upon you as you go about your daily life and work. Because every single one of you will be tempted to think that you are insignificant, that your work is insignificant. And when you do everything in the name of Jesus, there is no such insignificant thing. The family, the people that you are surrounded by, when you do in the name of Jesus, you do for Him, and you know that you are pleasing to Him and that you are loving and serving your neighbor as you should. You have the name of Jesus to save you from thinking that anything you do is insignificant. You do nothing in vain, and you have the name of Jesus to whisper when you die, to yell out when you sin, to cry out when you need help to forgive, and to know that you are never left nor forsaken. In Jesus' name, amen.